O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we have come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts so that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for his sake. Amen. Welcome to all of you this morning to the house of God, our Bethel, which we will be speaking about in some detail in today's sermon, our Bethel, the house of God. We pray the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us today as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children, But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise of heavenly joy. Peace on earth we sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God, Almighty Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right and in majesty most high. With the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all those who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first scripture reading today is found recorded in the book of Romans. We read there in the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 11, the very golden words in which Paul sets forth for us the cardinal doctrine of the Christian faith, which is justification, our being declared righteous through faith in Christ, so that we have a ladder to heaven prepared for us through him. We read in Romans 5, 1 to 11, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we've also obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So far, the first lesson. Let's join in reading responsively sections from Psalm 73. Truly, God is good to Israel,
to those who are pure in heart.
But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. For I was envious of the arrogant.
When I saw prosperity of the wicked.
Nevertheless, I am continually with you.
You hold my right hand.
You guide me with your counsel.
And afterward you will receive me to glory.
Whom have I in heaven but you? My flesh and my heart may fail,
but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. But for me, it is good to be near God. Our next scripture reading is drawn from Mark's Gospel in the 8th chapter, one of the places where Jesus in advance, and he did this on a number of occasions, this is one of the predictions that Jesus gave in advance that he would be going to the cross. Prediction of his death and then his triumphant resurrection on Easter. We read there in Mark 8, beginning with verse 31, He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, but turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So far, the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for meditation today is recorded in the book of Genesis in chapter 28, verses 10 through 17. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow redeemed, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. That's the remark that the woman of Samaria made in a conversation that she had with Jesus. You may remember the story. Jesus was in the midst of a journey from Judea up to Galilee. In the course of the 70-mile or so trek, he came to Sychar, stopped to rest at a well situated on the outskirts of town. And this woman just happened to come out to the well to draw water, and then the Lord engaged her in a conversation and talked to her about a water he had to give that quenches thirst once and for all and enables people to live on forever. Her curiosity was piqued. The last thing she expected as a Samaritan woman was to have a Jewish man talk with her, since Jews and Samaritans would usually not have any dealings with each other. They were on the outs, and especially was her curiosity piqued when the Jewish stranger told her her whole life story, even though they had never met. Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, Gerizim, which was nearby. You Jews say Jerusalem is the place to worship. And that's when Jesus replied, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will people worship the Father. The hour is coming and is already here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of worship he's looking for, no matter where it happens to be carried on. What Jesus helped the woman realize that day is that worship that's pleasing to God is not limited to a particular geographical location, but can be done wherever people come to lift their hearts in praise to God for his love in sending them the Savior. And this morning we want to consider this very blessed truth of Scripture as set forth in the Bible account of Jacob's dream. And we're going to see The Bible's answer to the question, where is God's house located? Where are we privileged to worship Him? First, wherever the Lord's promises are proclaimed for the comfort of poor sinners, and wherever His people gather to commemorate His faithfulness. But first, some background information on Jacob, the one that we hear about in our text. He was, as you probably know, the son of Isaac and Rebekah. And God had revealed to this couple that the Lord had chosen their son Jacob to be the ancestor of the Savior and to receive the family birthright, which involved also material blessings. Now, the birthright normally was reserved for the firstborn son in Jewish families, but Jacob was not the firstborn. That distinction belonged to his twin brother Esau. And one day, as the story goes, Isaac, getting up there in years, his vision failing, fearing his time of grace was drawing to a close, instructed Esau to go out and hunt for game and to cook up a delicious meal for his dad to enjoy. Esau, who was a very adept hunter in the field, he would do that often and bring back food for his father to enjoy. After which, I will bestow on you the blessing. And while Esau was out hunting game, Rebekah, not wanting to leave things to God's direction, which was not right, but she cooked up, no pun intended, a scheme to have Jacob receive the blessing. He had Jacob put on the disguise of Esau's clothes, skins of a young goat on his hands and neck in case his father would touch him. And she prepared some delicious stew that Isaac loved. And then Jacob would go into his father and receive the blessing. And the ruse worked. Isaac was tricked. He blessed Jacob. When Esau came back in from his hunting excursion and prepared a tasty meal for his father and to get the blessing, his dad, much to Esau's chagrin, said, "Sorry, son, can't give you the blessing. I've already bestowed it on your brother. He tricked me into it." Esau, enraged, made a pact with himself to slay his no-good brother after their father had died, and so Jacob was forced to run for his life, leave the family home at Beersheba, and go and live with his uncle Laban up in Haran, like 500 miles north in modern Syria. And then we get to our text. Jacob, trekking about maybe 3 days' journey, maybe 70 miles, bone-tired, feeling lonely, came to a spot to bed down for the night, situated a stone on the ground for a pillow, fell asleep under the stars, and then he dreamed the fantastic dream described in our text. The central feature of it was that ladder with its base on the earth and stretching all the way up into heaven. On the ladder, Jacob saw God's angels, some of them walking up, others walking down. And at the top, Jacob saw the Lord Himself, who spoke some very beautiful words, saying to Jacob, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread abroad to the west, east, north, and south. And in you and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I'm with you. I'm going to keep you wherever you go and bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I've done everything that I've promised." We note how God, in these words that he spoke to
Abraham in the dream from the top of that ladder promised for Jacob the very promise that he had given to his father, Isaac, and his grandfather, Abraham. Very amazing when we consider, what had Jacob just done? Just committed an act of treachery, not just offending against his brother Esau and his father Isaac, but God. And with, you can imagine all this weighing on Jacob's mind, his feeling guilty, feeling lonely, having just left his family home under very strained circumstances, fearful about what lay ahead in the future. God comes to him and assures him, whom the Lord knew, he saw Jacob's repentance, assured him of his forgiving love, that he was going to be with him, keep his promise to send a Savior through Jacob's family line. And then we're told that when he awoke in the middle of the night, considered the remarkable dream he just had, he spoke those words, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God and the gate to heaven. In the original Hebrew, the words that Jacob used, what he called the place where all this happened, was Beit Elohim, which means the house of Elohim, the house of God. To him, it was like a warm, kindly home where he was allowed to meet with the Lord of grace. Takeaway from this for all of us, God's people today, might ask the question, where can we go to receive the same assurances? God's forgiving love, of his tender care, of his guidance as we journey down the long and sometimes lonesome road of our lives. What are the Bethels of our lives? Well, they're basically in whatever place or places where the Lord's gospel promises are being spoken and shared. Examples of modern Bethels might be your living room, where you're conducting a family devotion with your wife or with your family, where you give attention with your children to the words of eternal life in Christ. Your car, when you're driving on the road listening to a Bible verse, maybe playing on a Bible app on the sound system, or a family member reading scripture verses out loud as you go along. And of course, a very special Bethel for all of us is the one located at 2470 Wadsworth in Lakewood. This church is a beautiful Bethel where we may come to hear the Lord sharing with us his gospel promises in Christ each Sunday, or on a Wednesday, as the case may be, during the season of Lent. Our text is an example of an open-air Bethel. Didn't have any walls like we have here. No light chandeliers, no stained glass, no organ music playing. In the book of Acts, we read how St. Paul convened a worship service once on the bank of a river near Philippi, where Lydia's heart was open to take to heart what Paul said, and she and her family were baptized. The early Christians also worshiped in house churches, like the one that Priscilla and Aquila hosted in their home at Corinth. I was reading recently how early Lutherans who came to America back in the 1700s and the 1800s convened for worship in cornfields and log cabins and hay mows of barns. Perhaps you've seen pictures of overseas missions where our fellow Christians meet in huts with thatched roofs and rustic stone mortar walls. All beautiful Bethels where the Lord is pleased to meet with his children and bless them through his word. is the beauty of a house of worship is not contingent ever on its size or outward grandeur, but on the beauty of the gospel promises that are shared within its walls, or even if there aren't any walls. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, says the Lord, I will come to you, and I will bless you. A little more on that ladder. Jacob saw in his dream angels going up and down. The Lord is also picturing for Jacob and for all of us who read this story many years later, the constant communication and the fellowship that exists between him and us, his repentant children. He's never out of touch with us. Though the expanse between heaven and earth is great, he takes personal interest in our lives. He has close contact with us, knows you by your name. And he oversees all things for your good. And yes, he also gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, uses them to serve you and to protect you, just as he did for the patriarch Jacob. It was no accident he ended up where he did and dreamed that special dream at that place. It's no accident, friends. You are where you are in your life, and that God brings you in touch with his gospel promises in Jesus, who walked for us the long and difficult road to the cross. He's directing your life faithfully in love every step of the way. Now, in the verses that follow our text, I didn't read them, but it goes on to tell how Jacob, early in the morning when the sun came up, took that stone which he had used as a pillow for his head, and he set it up as a memorial pillar, and then he poured oil over it and called the name of that place Beit Elohim, Bethel for short. And then he made a vow: if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and give me bread to eat and clothes to wear so that I come again to my father's house in peace, which happened later on. He also had a favorable visit with his twin brother Esau, who had forgiven him. Then the Lord shall be my God. This stone which I've set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you give me, Lord, I will give a full tenth to you. It's like David conducted under the stars, or I guess the stars were gone, as the morning sun rose. He conducted his own dedication service of that special house of God under the open air, a place that would serve him as a continual reminder of God's merciful goodness and whom he would endeavor to serve in thankful love all his days, with all that he was and all that he had. You can think of our Bethels the same way, all the ones we mentioned before. In addition to being places where God meets us to proclaim his promises to us, they're places where we come, be it a car or a living room or an actual church edifice, to be reminded of God's love in Christ, and where we also pray for strength to dedicate ourselves to the God of our salvation day by day. A place where we come to glorify the Lord as we speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, where we praise him with our thank offerings given and placed on the Lord's altar, and where we honor him with our talents and with our skills, God given, and all done, just like in the case, as Jesus said to the woman at the well, in spirit and in truth. You can know the Lord's going to use his word that you hear always, and the fellowship we share in Christ always, to fortify our faith and equip us for our life journey, just like he did for Jacob. We joyfully say it and sing it. Surely in temples made with hands, God the Most High is not dwelling. High above earth his temple stands, all earthly temples excelling. Yet he whom heavens cannot contain chose to abide on earth with men, built in our bodies his temple. And still we our earthly temples build, that we may herald his praises. They are the homes where he draws near and little children embraces. Beautiful things in them are said. God there with us, his covenant made, making us heirs of his kingdom. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to rise for prayer. We desire to offer a special petition this morning on behalf of Marty Schmolt. He will be undergoing a surgical procedure this coming Thursday, a corrective procedure related to the eyes. So we ask the Lord's blessing upon that procedure. And then our altar prayer and Lord's prayer. Lord, we intercede on behalf of our fellow Christian, Marty Schmolt, who is scheduled to undergo eye surgery this Thursday. Keep him in your care as he undergoes this procedure. Remove all anxiety and fear from his heart, and lead him to rest all his confidence in you, his heavenly physician. Bless the work of the surgeon and give success to the procedure as it pleases you. Be with Marty as he recovers and fill him with an abiding thankfulness for your many blessings. In your name we ask it. Amen. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, bring us to the understanding that you have the whole world in your hand, and none of us lives unto himself, and no one dies unto himself, for we are yours and all is yours. Grant also that we may see that our highest blessing is ours when we believe in you and in him whom you sent as Savior of the world, our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, that you have graciously provided for our forgiveness and salvation through our Lord Jesus, who died as our substitute. May we ever live together with him. Now, O God, in the name of him who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, help us to walk in obedience to your commandments, to test all things and hold fast to that which is good, and to abstain from every form of evil. And since you will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, stir up your church to send willing workers to preach the gospel at home and abroad. Give to your believers the heart and vision to pray, give and labor for the salvation of people everywhere. We pray for all people, especially for those in authority, that they may have respect for your holy will, for all that do not know Jesus as Savior, that they may hear and believe the gospel, for all who are in danger, that they may be preserved from harm. Grant that our homes may be the dwelling places of your Spirit. Lead all within our homes to increase and abound in love for each other. To all mothers, give the grace of spiritual wisdom. To all fathers, the gift of a good conscience and wise leadership by example. and to all children a spirit of cheerful obedience. Lord, have mercy on all who are in your house this day. Forgive our transgressions, support the weak, correct those who have gone astray. Grant us your help for any evil or trouble that plagues our souls or bodies. These things we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, who gave his life a ransom for us all, that he might bring us to you in heaven by his grace. In his name we pray. Amen. And we also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Page 5. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.